Catholic.org today.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coming up on this show, boy, we have some interesting things we're going to talk about, including, and as always, healthcare right from the get-go. The latest, I guess you're not shocked, Nancy Pelosi again committing to the public option. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders, who is from Vermont, the independent man at the helm, you might say, Senator, he had this to say about a couple of things happening with Afghanistan, including the fact that they're asking for more troops, General McChrystal is. However, he might not get those troops until a strategy is outlined.
My major concern about the war in Afghanistan and why I voted against the recent defense authorization bill is that we seem to be getting sucked into a quagmire without the kind of debate, without the kind of discussion that this country desperately needs and the people of our country are entitled to. What we know now is that the number of troops that the generals are requesting is going up and up. We know that we are pouring, we have already poured several hundred billion dollars into Afghanistan. That number is going to go up. But we don't know what the goals of our efforts in Afghanistan are or what kind of exit strategy we have. And I worry that Afghanistan will be another Vietnam. I worry that Afghanistan will be another Iraq. We've been there 8 years already. And how many more years are we supposed to be there? How many more American troops are supposed to die? How many more tens and tens of billions of dollars are we supposed to be spending at a time when we have a record-breaking deficit? I find it amusing that some of my more conservative friends are saying, well, we can't afford to spend more money on health care in this country. We can't afford to spend more money on education or environmental protection. But, yes, we can afford to pump tens and tens of billions of dollars more into the war in Afghanistan. So my view is that we need far more clarity on this issue than we have had. We need a real national discussion of exit strategy, a national discussion about what our goals are. We haven't had that, and the American people should be demanding.
All right, so part of tonight's show, we're going to be talking about health care, as I said, the latest, Nancy Pelosi again affirming that big fat commitment, public option or else, plus something else that's been put on the table as far as a special option might be concerned from a different part of the world. I'll explain what another senator's philosophy is. But back to Afghanistan for a moment. Afghanistan, what McChrystal is saying, the general on the ground there, is that we need more warriors, we need more troops, and that the war can be won with a new strategy. Now, former General Wesley Clark says, look, you got to have public support. And I ask all of you, how much public support do we have for this so-called war in Afghanistan? Many of you have called this show expressing your doubts as to why are we there in the first place. It was George Will, even just a couple of days ago, the conservative columnist, I think, who really nailed it, though he often does that. It's not a surprise. In his piece in the Washington Post, where I'm going to pull out a couple of quotes, he said, America should do what can be done offshore using intelligence, drones, cruise missiles, and small, potent special forces units, concentrating on the porous 1,500-mile border with Pakistan, a nation that actually matters. I agree wholeheartedly. It couldn't have said it more eloquently myself. It's exactly what we have been talking about forever on ATN. So how about it, America? Can you climb back on board, as Wesley Clark says, because you have to have the public support? And we, of course, ultimately, it's Al-Qaeda, not so much the Taliban that we want to defeat, because that's the traces back to 9/11, right? So that's the first thing. So that's the burning question. Can the public rally around Afghanistan for another decade? You know, the Pentagon announced today that two units will have their time extended. So that means the one of them out of Fort Bragg in North Carolina, they got to stay for another 50 days. And the other out of Fort Stewart in Georgia, they got to stay another 14 days. And you say, well, 50 days, 14 days. Trust me, it's a lot when you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And part of the theory is, look, every time someone new comes in, you have to retrain them and give them the lay of the land. So we've been talking about Afghanistan for a very long time. The 90% rate of illiteracy in that country, the GDP in that country, how can they possibly support a private army and a private police force? How can they possibly do that? And then what about the question of the poppy fields, the opium fields, the value that the Taliban has hanging over the heads of these illiterate people? So there's nothing but questions that really hang in the balance of Afghanistan. And I brought it up at the top, and there's a slew of other things. I mean, look, you got Michael Jackson and his big private funeral out at the celebrity burial grounds in Los Angeles. You have a couple of other things happening with North Korea. You have all the hubbub over Obama speaking to the school kids, and we'll get to all that stuff. But too often, I think Afghanistan is left aside, pushed aside. And on a day when, you know, I go back and I look at the figures, and did you know that August, again, was the deadliest month in that country for U.S. forces? And now we want to increase those forces. There is no exit strategy. There is no strategy in general. George Will, a baseball fan, I think, as I said, hit it out of the park when he said, how about paying attention to the real zone, that 1,500-mile border with Pakistan, a country that really matters. And he's right about concentrating there. And he's right about using drones and cruise missiles and use some special forces. Why not do that instead of investing more troops and more money to something that is going to gain us nothing in the end in Afghanistan? All right, as much as we're going to talk about that and some of the other things I mentioned, we will lighten the load. After all, we're swinging into yet another weekend, so that means movies. There's a chick flick that's out. I guess it's kind of a chick flick. It's all about Steve. Could be a chick flick slash guy flick. Gamer, Extract, two other movies that are out as well. They're getting a little bit of buzz. I'm going to go back to my old standby saying of the best movies, I think, are the ones that have been out the past couple of months, including Inglourious Basterds. I would recommend that to anyone. I mean, not little kids, but I would recommend that to any adults listening to me. It's an excellent Quentin Tarantino film. And as much as his films go way over the line sometimes with language and whatnot, it's actually not that bad. And I think you'll get a big kick out of it if you're looking for a little laughter. And Brad Pitt in a very, very, very big role, I think. Coming up also, no fluff, the real stuff on healthcare. That's what Joe Biden's saying. We're going to let you hear the latest from him. He's sort of the guy that they throw out to chum the waters. Get everybody ready for what Obama's going to say next week in his speech that will be televised to both chambers. Can't wait. He sort of stopped short, though, and said, I don't want to tell you everything. So he kind of threw the meat out there, and then he pulled it back in. Hey, coming up next, can't wait for this next guest, C.D. Berry. Can you imagine what it would be like to be on a slab in the morgue and then come back to life? We'll tell you about it next.
Are you constantly tired? Have a hard time concentrating? Experience muscle weakness or have problems with digestion? The solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body. Liquid Zeolite, available only at RestoreYourHealthNow.com, captures toxins and physically carries them out of your body. This safe and effective way of detoxifying can easily remove heavy metals and contaminants. Studies show that Liquid Zeolite captures triggering antigens which cause allergies, migraines, and asthma, decreasing the rate and severity of these symptoms. Liquid liquid Zeolite is a tasteless and odorless liquid that, when taken daily, supports a healthy, happy, and active lifestyle in an increasingly toxic world. And liquid Zeolite is so gentle that you won't even know you're taking it. Although your list of elements may be endless, the solution is simple. Try liquid Zeolite for yourself by visiting RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Or call 1-800-976-0025. That's 1-800-976-0025 today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Imagine, as I just said before we stepped aside to pay some bills here in America tonight, if you were on a slab in the morgue and you were still alive. Can you imagine flatlining and then coming back to life? I've heard the stories, but one can only conjure up the images. Our next guest knows exactly what that's like. C.D. Barry, you might recognize the name. Actress, model. She even one time did what I used to do, television news. She was a news reporter. And if you, I love this show too, House of Pain, working with Tyler Perry. Can you imagine what that's like? It is a pleasure to welcome C.D. Barry to America tonight. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great, man. When I heard your story, I could not believe it. So let's roll the tape back and tell everybody first what happened and how you ended up on a slab in the morgue.
Well, actually, it was a few years back. It was during the delivery of my first child. I went into the hospital with complications, actually, and I was in for about 2 or 3 days before I actually gave birth to him. But during that time, there was so much, you know, complications going on that the only thing that I can remember just before I actually could feel my soul leaving my body was the doctors like screaming, saying, you know, just sew her up, do something. And I could just see them looking, you know, I could look down and see them below just scurrying about, you know, trying to take care of everything to save me and my child. But after that, it was almost as if I was walking through a tunnel, you know, a dark tunnel towards a bright light. And I wouldn't say actually walking, but it was sort of floating because I felt very light. And as I was moving closer towards that light, I heard a voice that said, "Go back. I'm not ready for you yet. I have a message for you to deliver. At the time, I didn't really know, you know, what that meant. I didn't know what message I had to deliver. But later, I thought maybe, you know, I was to do the news or something. I wasn't really sure. However, during that time, though, in the morgue, when I did wake up from having that vision or that dream, I noticed that I was lying on a metal table, and it was cold in there because it was in November, and it was really cold. And the only thing I had over me was a sheet, and I knocked the sheet off as I sat up. You know, it just fell off. And while I was sitting on the table, someone walked by the door. The door was open, and I assumed it was a nurse because, you know, when she saw me sitting up, she jumped. It's like she said, "Oh, you're awake." And she said, "Stay there. Stay there. Go and get help. And don't move." So when she came back in, you know, she came in with orderlies and, I guess, you know, other nurses, and they had the stretcher and IV and all that, and they connected me and wheeled me up to a room. But I didn't know at the time that, you know, when they came in, that I was actually in a morgue. I didn't realize that until later. And the doctor said that I had given everybody a big scare. Once they took me up to the room, it was like, you know, every 5 minutes someone was coming in, checking my vital signs just to make sure I was okay. And I still had not seen my son. They didn't bring him to me until the following day. They just wanted to make sure that, you know, I was going to live, I assume.
Oh, boy, no kidding. What was your family's reaction to this?
Pardon me?
What was your family's reaction to this happening to you?
My mother told me that she had received a call from the hospital. They wanted her to come. They didn't tell her exactly, you know, why, what was going on. But she said she knew, you know, something was wrong, so she refused to come. She didn't want to come. And at the time, my husband was actually in Korea. So he was in the military, and he had been stationed over there. So he was away, and there was really no one there with me. But it's just, I don't know. My mother, she knew that something was wrong. But God brought me through it. So
we were all
able to talk about it and, you know, laugh about it, because something very similar to that actually happened to her earlier, she told me. I didn't find out about that until actually after she had passed away. My mother has been dead now for about 8 years. And one evening I was talking with my aunt, and she said, "You know, something very similar to that happened to your mother." And I was really surprised to find out. So I guess it runs in the family, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. But now, if something like that happens to you, and you described it, the dark tunnel going toward the light, maybe kind of like you're floating, I mean, your life has changed, and I would think, and that's what you're trying to do, that you're reaching out, you automatically are thinking, wow, what am I supposed to do? What is the message? How do I reach out to other people? Was that some of what you started to think afterwards?
Exactly, because that's why I've done so many things in my life. My daughter and I were talking, and she was like, "Mom, what haven't you done? Everything I mentioned, you've been there, done that." And I said, "I know." I said, "It's just, I really didn't know what it was that God wanted me to do until, I guess, I think about 10 years ago. It was the very first time that I put together a rough draft of a letter and presented it to the pastor of my church. And I was very timid and shy about, you know, speaking out in front of the congregation, so I didn't want to do it myself. But I gave him the letter, but nothing, you know, came about it. So, but God, he worked with me. I have been through so much. I have testimonies that are out of this world because of the fact that I didn't want to step out on faith and do what he had chosen me to do. He didn't want anyone else to do it. He wanted me to do it. But I was trying to put it on someone else because, I guess, like Moses, I didn't think I was adequate enough to do it. And that, you know, the message is that we really need to get back to the basics. Our country, our world is like it is today because we have fallen short of God's commandments. We have turned away from the Ten Commandments. It's just the moral law that we're to live by. And I say this because God actually spoke to me after I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, in an audible voice and said, keep my commandments. And when I heard that, then I knew that that was the message that he wanted me to get out to everyone, that we have to keep his commandments. And the Ten Commandments, actually, that he is referring to is from Deuteronomy 5, which is where I come up with the slogan, D5 to stay alive. I know the Ten Commandments are actually found in two sections of the Bible, in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. And most people are more familiar with the set that's in Exodus, which are the tablets, you know, that Moses broke into. However, Deuteronomy, it's like a reminder, because the people during that time had sort of forgotten about God's laws and started doing what they wanted to do, living their lives the way they wanted to live. And God actually had Moses put together another set and present it to them to remind them not only of his law that he created for everyone, not just for the Jews, but for the world, because the Ten Commandments has always been in place. It's just that they were not written on the tablets until God did that with Moses. But if you recall, in the beginning in Genesis, God rested on the seventh day as well after he created man.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the law has always been in place. Okay? But he included in Deuteronomy the fact that he brought the Israelites out of Egypt.
Right.
With a mighty hand. And see, that's what the Israelites had forgotten. And he wants us to also remember that. If he did it for the Israelites, he can do it for us, meaning he can bring us out of what we're going through, what the world is going through right now, all this disaster that's going on, all the economic crisis, the killing of each other, you know, people just killing for no reason.
Right.
I read on the Internet the other day, 17 people, I believe, shot, you know, in Mexico for no reason. Why are these things happening? Because we have no morals. We've lost sight of God's moral law. It's like we have no value for life. So we need the Deuteronomy 5 in order to stay alive.
The value of life, I so agree with that. It's shocking, some of the things that we talk about on America Tonight. We're almost out of time, and they can learn about D5 and all that you have to say. And by the way, you have a master's in Christian counseling. You've done so many things, like you said. I mean, you're a person who, you're an account executive, a realtor, a Christian counselor. You've got Safe in the Ark. How do they get a copy of Safe in the Ark?
Safe in the Ark is a very new book. So if you go into the bookstore, Borders, Barnes, Nobles, what have you, you will have to ask the cashier for the book, Safe in the Ark. It may not be there yet,
but if you ask
them by name and the title, you know, Safe in the
Ark
by C.D. Barry, they can order it for you. Or you can go directly through the publisher, which is publishamerica.com.
All right, thanks.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting eCigarettesNational.com. That's the letter E, CigarettesNational.com. eCigarettesNational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. there are 16 large hermetically sealed non-hybrid open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe fresh vegetables, ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Coming up, we have odds and ends. We'll take you around the states and tell you what's happening, maybe in your own backyard here on America Tonight. But first, this is a story that did have a happy ending, although it's going to be, I think, tough to get that readjustment period for the Dugard family, but at least they have it. Hey, for 18 years thinking your daughter is dead, buried somewhere, who knows what, then suddenly to find out your daughter is a grown woman and you have a daughter and now these two grandchildren, your emotions must be on a roller coaster. But eventually you hope and pray things settle down for these folks, right? So finally, because everybody wants to know what's happening. Tina Dugard, who is the aunt to JC and is close to her sister and is trying to help the whole family as well in hanging out and getting to know each other and that whole process, she spoke to the media because there were so many requests, to talk to JC. And you know that that's not going to happen after all the 18 years of being in a tent and not having much connection to the outside world and these two kids. It'll be, I think, a long time before anybody gets an interview with her. So it was great, I think, that the aunt came out because people want to know, how's the family doing? How is she? How are the children? You know, what can you tell us? And here's what she had to say.
JC and her daughters are with her mom and younger sister in a secluded place, reconnecting. I was with them until recently. We spent time sharing memories and stories and getting to know each other again. JC remembers all of us. She is especially enjoying getting to know her little sister, who was just a baby when JC was taken. Not only have we laughed and cried together, but we've spent time sitting quietly, taking pleasure in each other's company. We are so very grateful to have her home. JC is a remarkable young woman who has raised two beautiful daughters. They are clever, articulate, curious girls who have a bright future ahead of them. Although they have no formal education, they are certainly educated. JC did a truly amazing job with the limited resources and education that she herself had, and we are so proud of her. On behalf of my sister, Terry, and the rest of our family, allow me to thank everyone for the prayers and best wishes you have all sent. The smile on my sister's face is as wide as the sea. Her oldest daughter is finally home.
All right, so that was a nice way to finish that, I think. And one of the things that she said is that there are suddenly popping up, of course, there's always idiots out there that try to take advantage of vulnerable people and things that happen that are nasty. So there are people that are saying they're raising money for JC and the girls, but they're not at all connected with them, and they're just trying to get money. But they did set up a trust fund for donations to help them, because you can imagine, that's the first thing I thought of. Okay, how does she make a living? No education, no background in what's going on even in the world, just the bits and pieces, and who knows what was revealed to her while she was in captivity for the 18 years. And the same thing with the girls, because they haven't had any kind of a formal education, so that's going to take some time to sort of catch them up on what's happened in that whole time. You have an 11-year-old, a 15-year-old, and, of course, a 29-year-old, the mother, JC, who since 11 has only been able to do what Philip Garrido wanted her to do. So at the end of this whole thing, the Garridos, of course, they plead not guilty. I'm sure you're not shocked by that. I have a bad, bad, bad feeling that it's going to be the insanity plea or some other such, you know, nonsense. But I think the scariest thing that comes out of this whole story is the fact that they had a monitoring device. They had, I guess, a parole officer that went to see him at one point, didn't look all the way around, just kind of did the once-over of the house, didn't ask a lot of questions. How this, it's still, I still come back to the same thing. How could nobody have known this for so long? And what a gap in the system, what a gap in the parole system for, first of all, should he have been out 50 years of the sentence, he gets out in 11. He's a registered sex offender. He raped somebody viciously for 8 hours, so he gets 11 years for that. And look what happens just a few years after he's out. And then the wife, Nancy Garrido, and the fact that the attorney trots out earlier in the week, a couple days ago, and says, geez, she's worried about all the media coverage. Really? Too bad. Maybe you should have gone to the cops when this happened and had a change of heart. Because you went along with the sick freak that you were married to. You cannot say it was against your will. Sorry, I'm not buying what she's selling. Tomas is listening to us in Michigan. Hello, Tomas.
Well, first of all, did you hear about that guy, Van Jones?
I talked about it a lot last night. Of course, what he said about the Republicans and now the stuff about 9/11. And, you know, he's the Green Czar, but I guarantee I don't see him losing his job. He gets a free pass.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, I listened to the video, and at first he says Republicans are donkey orifices. And then he said he is a donkey orifice also. Mm-hmm. He can be. So does that make him a black Republican donkey orifice? I don't know. But, you know, that aside, okay, in Afghanistan, you have to understand that we are surging in there, and that takes time. Now, we're in 2 months, you know, into the surge, okay? And
Eight years into being there. 8 years into being in Afghanistan, you're right. It is the surge part. They have to have more troops on the ground. I agree with you there. But that's, you know, if the intended end game. What is the intended end game? To kill the Taliban and not let any young guys? be influenced anymore by them and not hopefully, you know, kill the beast enough that you're not growing the seeds of more hatred?
Well, I would read some of the articles that Oliver North is writing before you read, Will, because, you know, Will, like, never served much time in the military. And Oliver North has, I think, spent the last 4 years over in Iraq and Afghanistan. But another thing is the Taliban is like the toenail on the monster. You know, it's not the Taliban, it's Islam, okay? I mean, recently I think the Afghanistan government voted that it was okay for a man to rape his wife, you know, once every 4 weeks or, you know, that was the limit, you know. He could do it up to that many times or I mean,
right.
That's the situation here. And the other, we have to identify the enemy. And then we have to do another thing, and that is mobilize. Now, look at World War II.
Yeah, but wait a second. Why can't we do this? Wait a second. What Will is saying, there are other Republican-minded generals, you know this, Tomas, that are saying the same thing, that the American people are not buying this war, and the people, they don't want it to turn into another Vietnam. This is not liberal Democrats. There are dyed-in-the-wool conservatives are saying, wait a second, we need to have a strategy here. We need to know what's going on to make it worthwhile if we're going to continue and proceed this way. And a lot of the generals are saying the same thing that Will said in the last part of his piece in the Washington Post. We really need to be on the border of Afghanistan. That's where the trouble is. I mean, of Pakistan, that's where the trouble is.
Yeah, you know, look, what are you going to do on the border of Afghanistan or on the border of Pakistan? You don't do anything in war on the border of anywhere. You have to go after them. You have to cross the border, and you have to go after the enemy. Wherever they go, you need to go. You see, now in Vietnam, they were in Cambodia. They were in Laos. They were in North Vietnam, and we couldn't go after them. And when we did, when we went after Cambodia, we kicked their butt, and the whole world went into an uproar, and then we got all PC and sensitive. They didn't call it PC then, you know. Now, World War II, there were two things. We identified the enemy, and we mobilized the country. Now, when you drive to work, do you see a mobilized country? Do you see, you know, posters saying, you know, support the war?
No. Absolutely not.
No. But we're sending our best, our most courageous young men and women out there, and then they're going toe-to-toe. They're not using the best technology they have and the biggest weapons. They're almost fighting like a spiritual Christian war out there, trying to save the enemy and save the civilians and not kill anybody and still not get killed,
you know, and not
blow up that house because there may be a baby in the house.
Right.
Even though there's five Taliban in there. So you got to maybe get two or three Marines wounded to kill that Taliban.
Right.
You know,
I agree.
Or I mean, so, you know, if Obama wanted to, he has the ability to articulate a message and get this country behind something.
But well, I agree. That's what he has to do. Wesley Clark said that.
This
is what he wants. He said Afghanistan is his. If he's saying Afghanistan is, I'm committed to Afghanistan, then he needs to be committed to Afghanistan. And you're absolutely right, Tomas. This needs to be told to the American people so they get that we're at war, like you said, and get the support is behind it more than just, I say this all the time, the people who have sons and daughters and relatives and people down the street. It needs to be fully invested. We need to be fully invested into this. And I don't think we need to be there for a decade and have the same crappy results that we had with Vietnam. I feel so awful for all the people in Vietnam that fought so valiantly, came home to what? Protests, wheelchairs that were broken down. Sad, sad, sad. I don't want to see this time around. Hang with us, everybody.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, was written for anyone who wants to survive the upcoming and ongoing financial storm. Get prepared and go to hereswhatyoudo.net and buy the $6 book. He is also trying to help us by running for Congress to stop the thievery and loss of liberties. Please arm yourself with his guide and go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground-up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Throw in your 2 cents about Afghanistan. You can do that at 800-259-5791. We've talked to a lot of people about Afghanistan. In fact, earlier this week, we were talking about the CIA and how they're getting thrown under the bus and the investigations and the Attorney General Eric Holder, which really he's an appendage of the president who says, oh, I have nothing to do with it, baloney. Those two are inseparable, and he absolutely has something to do with it. This was a way to pacify the left because they were so up in arms about the photographs that were released and the enhanced interrogation techniques that were released, the waterboarding, in other words, of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed for one. That's what that's all about. We talked to Jeff Atticott a lot on this show. He's a terrorism expert, talks to the FBI, testifies before Congress, all that sort of stuff. And he's had some interesting thoughts about Afghanistan as well. He believes, too, that Pakistan is really the place where we should be. And I agree with that. Pakistan is ultimately smoldering, and that's the place to hit. Now, having said that, if we are in Afghanistan and this is where we're going to be, then somebody needs to really push this and push this hard to the country because people don't even call it a war. People just say, oh, yeah, in Afghanistan or so-and-so went to Afghanistan. I'm always surprised by that because it doesn't feel to many people like a war. And Tomas made a great point about that. I don't agree with his stance on Afghanistan because I don't think we should be there. I think we're going to see, sadly, and I hope I'm wrong on this, but I think what's going to happen, we're going to see another decade in Afghanistan, and nothing is really going to change. Nothing's going to be different. And then what? We're going to leave. what's, you know, McChrystal, the general there, says this is winnable. Well, if it's winnable, then win it. Then win it. Win over the American people and win it. That'd be a great thing. Hey, I'm all for that because I support the troops, anybody who goes over 100% or more. If somebody is going to go over there and go through those horrible conditions that you have to go through and go through the mind games that you have to go through, and Tomas did point that out, too, because it's like the politically correct war you're fighting. That's why I think George Will has a point. You use the drones, you use the other things, and guess what? You don't put those guys in that position either. Now, putting someone in that position to go after the so-called enemies, and they are the enemy, I mean, the Taliban, like Al-Qaeda, would certainly slit our throats in a second. We know that, right? But if that's the game plan, then you need to really have a good game plan, and you need to execute it, and people need to be on board and know what it is. And the president is the commander-in-chief. I don't care if he served or not. It's not about that. He is the commander-in-chief, just like Bush, just like Clinton, just like Carter, just like Nixon, just like whoever. So it has to come from him. In other words, he has to lead the rally, not just some tepid little, you know, Afghanistan. No, not some flowery speech nonsense. I mean, something hard, something that really resonates with people. All right, I said this was odds and ends when we take you all over the place and what happened. I think one of the crazy stories that emerged from the last day or two, of course, we have all these health care reform town hall meetings, all that sort of stuff. Los Angeles, which is on fire, they decide they're going to hold one of the health care rallies. And this was the oddest story. I almost felt like, was Mike Tyson in the crowd? A 65-year-old man's finger was bitten off in L.A., At this healthcare reform, because there was a group of anti healthcare reform protesters, and then there were MoveOn.org supporting healthcare, and so they got into a ruckus, I guess. There were a few punches thrown and all this other stuff, and all of a sudden, before you know it, there's this big scuffle and someone's fingers on the street. Wow. That's the worst thing I think that's happened in anything that we've seen across the country. You lose your finger and have to have it reattached, I guess, for going to one of these meetings. And I guess he couldn't even get it reattached because of the complications, excuse me, from human saliva. Let's go to Sam in Montreal.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
That sounds like that rally. Almost sounds like the days of the Broad Street Bullies.
Crazy.
Yeah, I know, totally. You were mentioning Afghanistan. I know. Canada, and we might be going for another election here in Canada. We'll know once Parliament gets back. And anyway, Canada has this deal that they want to be out of Afghanistan by 2011. Now if they do stick to that, that means, with all due respect, you people will be you'll be big brother, if you know what I mean.
Well, and already the United States is, because most of the troops are from the United States.
Right. I mean, what are we fighting for? You know, I'm all for them going over and, you know, trying to get rid of terrorism. But at the same time, you know, are we just fighting a bunch of terrorists, or are we fighting? Obviously, these terrorists must be getting money from somewhere, and who knows where they're getting it from.
Well, they're getting money from the opium fields, because they're selling, the opium gets sold, and that is part of heroin, and they make a ton of money on it.
Right. So, and then you just mentioned earlier about this general, what's his name, Crystal?
Crystal, he's the lead general.
Yeah, the lead general. You know what? Okay, I know people are probably sick and tired of me bringing hockey into this. Send over Ken Hitchcock. Do it as a hockey thing, and we'd send over Mark Crawford.
If only we could laugh and joke and do that.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
We can't, and the seriousness of it
is that
people are going to lose lives. You're going to have lost lives. If you spill blood for a good cause, it's a different thing.
Well, I know, I was talking to a friend of mine in New York. Yes, I have friends outside of Canada. And she has a friend who's in the Navy, an officer. She went up to her CO and said, you know, I can't go because originally they were going to send her over to Afghanistan. She goes, why not? I'm Jewish. So then her CO went, yeah, so? They capture me. They can use me as bait. So the CO...
I don't know that you want to be used for bait.
Right. So then the CO went, oh, I never thought of it that way. So she's getting... Okay, and then some people are calling her a chicken for not going over.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, she told my friend, she said, if I wasn't Jewish, I'd be gung-ho about going over. But she's just worried that if she gets captured, they might say, oh, you're Jewish. You're, you know, they'll accuse her of being a Zionist, whatever, or a spy for Israel, you know, and things like that. And they'll just say, okay, we've got something. We want you to release 1,000 prisoners to get her back, you know, stuff like that. So that's what she was worried about. So, you know, I don't know if it, the only people who win on this are the defense contractors.
Yeah, the defense contractors, of course, which
right.
Blackwater now renamed something else. I don't even know that they call it Blackwater. They're
right.
still getting money from Iraq and supposedly some Afghanistan. I mean, hey, I hope they could, if you can stamp out terrorism.
Right.
How do you stamp out terrorism is the other thing because it's such an elusive deal. You've got Al Qaeda, you've got the Taliban, you have other groups that are splinter groups that bubble up. It's pretty tough.
Right. Now, one question. I guess, you know, I don't know if you've heard, but Kurt Schilling's thinking about going after Kennedy's seat. You think he's serious or you think he's just blowing smoke?
Serious. He's an independent, but he slants more toward the Republican side. He's very involved in politics. I mentioned this on the last show. Thanks, Sam, for the call. Have a great weekend. He calls a lot of the news talk shows, calls a lot of the sports talk shows. People like him in Boston. He could have a shot at it. I mean, they do the special election, and he's an independent. So, of course, it depends on the people then because we're talking about an election. He doesn't get the interim deal, which is what the push is, of course, from the governor, Deval Patrick, and it's very controversial, but I think he's going to get his way. And we'll see. September 9th is the big day on that, the public hearing. But let's say that happens, then you have this special election, and the special election, Kurt Schilling certainly could run there. Let me say something else about Afghanistan, and I think I mentioned this before. What's happened now is you got the 82nd Airborne Division. They're in Afghanistan. Their tours are extended by 50 days or so. That's from 12 months to nearly 14 months. And then you have the 101st Airborne Division. They could have 12 months at home, but the 82nd was supposed to return in May. They're going to come home sometime in July. So what you have happening is you have an extension, at least a little bit of extension for those troops. And I guess they say it's based on the experience and then trying to get the other guys in there as fast as they can. We're not going to solve Afghanistan, certainly, in one show here on America Tonight, but please express your opinions to americatonight.net. I'm going to leave you with this one. This is from Winston Churchill. He said, I'm ready to meet my maker. Whether my maker is prepared for the great ordeal of meeting me is another matter.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.